We're glad you're joining us here at Common Thread Online. This is a recording of our community gathering, as we do each week, to think together about the spiritual journey. At the end of the lesson, we open the floor for discussion. We'd love to hear what you're thinking, too. Go to our community's Facebook page, post your thoughts. So again, thank you all for helping us transition online. And again, if you're not connected, use the Connect Us link in the post. We'll help you get connected. And let's go ahead and begin our lesson. Spiritual community in the time of virus. So you heard me a little bit reluctant to broach this morning's guided meditation. Well, the same thing for the lesson. I already hear the objections before I even start talking. The objection will be something like this. Wait, that's it? That's your big help one another idea? Well, gee, Doug, thanks a lot for that. But I hope to make the case that this is an important way that we can help others. But first, I used a term in the meditation, immobilizingly large problems. I was talking to a woman this week, and she was processing how difficult these days are. She told me about a news article she'd read about a hospital in New York. More than a few of the staff, one of the doctors said in the article, were hiding in supply closets because they just needed a place to go where they could sob. And we care for those people. And many, many others we care for. And we want to help one another. But this thing, it's so big. How? How do we help? So you won't be surprised that today will be about here, now, small, doable. Mother Teresa said it. You've heard me say this before. When you can't feed 100 people, feed one. Our tradition's wisdom is don't lock yourself away in your own time of trouble. Our souls thrive when we help someone else in their time of trouble. So, first, I want to reiterate a few things you've already heard. Forget the politicizing. We didn't get enough tests and we didn't get them early enough. So now what we're all doing is the best thing we can do to help others. We're staying home. Even if we are low risk, probably not infected, we just don't know, so we stay home. And we lose our jobs. And we go stir crazy. And we pay a pretty steep price because it's the best strategy we have right now to help others. And we've seen school kids without lunches. We've seen elderly alone needing groceries. Service workers who are running out of money and getting near the edge. And so we get some non-perishable food and we bring it to the green doors. Here, now, small, doable. And we've heard about isolation. We've heard about loneliness. Maybe you are zoomed out personally, but that's not true for everyone. So we contact one another, not just in Common Thread, our neighbors and our coworkers. And we ask after people's well-being once a day, five times a week. If you can't feed 100, you feed one. It's an important spiritual principle. When some aspect of the world is not as it could be, and we are worked up about that, anxious or worried or concerned, if we don't participate in reshaping the world, that interior dissonance, it makes our hearts sick. So, the spiritual wisdom is, we move toward the pain with healing in our wings. And we do it in ways we can do it. Here, now, small, doable. But again, all of those are things that you've heard. They're worth reminding us because they're important. But they're not today's subject. You know, the need that we have, but here's one that you might not know. And this is probably the one you're going to react to. And so before I even tell you the topic, don't underestimate the power of this spiritual truth. It seems like a small thing. I'm telling you, it's not a small thing. Are you ready? Let's talk about giving people the gift of listening. I just know you're reacting. Giving people the gift of listening. Oh, great, Doug. People dying without ventilators, and this is your great idea, listening. Yeah, thanks a heap. But interestingly, I also heard this week. Oh, Doug, I have been listening, and it has nearly overwhelmed me. And what, you want me to do more? I'm barely keeping it together as it is, and I'm going to go listen to other people in their pain? Yeah, thanks a lot. So, listening, that's not enough. And listening, whoa, that's too much. So let's see if we can access the power of this spiritual principle and not fall prey to either one of those. Let's start with, whoa, that's too much. In a recent lesson, I can't remember which one, I mentioned a long-standing metaphor that we use in our community, a metaphor that helps us not burn out when we are serving others. You've heard this, that teachers and social workers and ministers, they burn out fast and they burn out in large numbers. And part of the reason for that is what we're experiencing right now together. This is more pain than we bargained for. And it's easy to leave us feeling overwhelmed, and it's easy to leave us feeling drained. Now, there are some folks that seem able to stick with it, even thrive in it over the long haul. Now, there are a lot of reasons for that, different personalities, of course. Some are better at self-care, like we talked about last week. That's part of it. But there's another important reason. Some people are able to help others in really trying circumstances and do it over the long haul because of how they understand what it is that they are doing. And so the metaphor that helps us talk about that and think about is the metaphor of a midwife. Here's what a midwife doesn't do. A midwife doesn't impregnate the issue, doesn't gestate the issue, doesn't determine the day of delivery. No, all of that important stuff, all that critical stuff, it's done by other parties. But the midwife being present there, that makes all the difference, which makes it a really good metaphor for listening to one another. Listening is not fixing problems for one another. Or more to the point, listening is not carrying the burden of needing to fix problems for one another and being unable to fix problems for one another. Listening is not carrying a heavy burden when we can't fix things because fixing is not listening's job. And listening is not an obligation. Listening is a gift. It's a gift that we give when we are able to give it. When we are sucked dry, when we are on emotionally fragile ground, when we can't stop ourselves from worrying and stressing, listening is not an obligation. It's a gift that we give when we have it to give. This is why I said last week, we started this whole time about the spiritual wisdom in the time of the virus. Self-care is critical in times of trouble. Again, self-care is critical in times of trouble. Self-care is how we build the interior bandwidth to do what we need to do, what our worlds need us to do in times of troubles. A midwife makes all the difference, but not by doing the stuff. A midwife creates an environment. And it is an environment in which the other parties can do a magical thing. When other parties can bring life out of pain and bring joy out of trauma. Listening to one another doesn't solve somebody's problem. It creates space where they can access what is already inside them that they need to be able to move forward in a healthier way. By listening, we help one another access what we all have inside of us that we need to access, the inner voice. Listeners don't do the thing. They don't carry the burden for the thing. They don't carry the burden when they can't solve the thing. They don't resolve problems. They facilitate the players in this drama doing what they need to do so that something magical happens. Listeners are facilitators. They help us access what we need that is already inside us. So listening, again, is not giving our gift of wisdom. Listening is not offering our insights. No, it's facilitating access to what's already inside. I had a pretty diverse church background, and along the way I did a stint in the Pentecostal tradition. And if you know the tradition, you know that a big theme in that tradition is that the divine spirit is in us and all about accessing it. But that tradition also has a preference for the authoritarian style of leadership, which even as a young man struck me as kind of contradictory. If the Holy Spirit is inside each one of us, why all the focus on submitting to the leader, putting all the responsibility for discerning the leading of God on the leader, on him or on her? Now, yielding to authority before we wield authority, that is a really important part of the developmental journey. But I think the role of leadership in the church is better used equipping people to access this incredible resource that each one of us carries inside of us. Now, I'm a pretty spiritual man, and I like to think I'm a pretty good minister, a pretty good leader. But if my role in our community is to seek divine leading and then tell everyone what that leading is, we are sunk. Because that would divorce us from the foundation, the bedrock of the spiritual life, that we are, every one of us, carriers of the inner divine. Everything we need, it is already inside of us. That's the bedrock. And what listening does is it helps each of us find that interior light, find it in ourselves. And so I've done this kind of listening. I've done a lot of it, done it long enough to know this thing happens. People do find the inner light in the context of listening. It happens all the time. And we need it to happen right now. We need to find our inner best selves to survive and thrive in times of trouble. Now, if you're listening between the lines, you're hearing this. This kind of listening presupposes that the one to whom we are listening is seeking the inner voice. Otherwise, we're just listening to a bunch of bitching and moaning. Here's the thing. Listening creates space where fearful people can find the courage that is already in them. It does that. But they have to be looking. Listening creates the space for overwhelmed people to find the inner strength that is inside of them because it's there if they are looking. So, this kind of listening that I'm describing today, it's a two-part endeavor. The listening creates the space, which is essential. The seeking, the desiring and paying attention, that creates the magic. And the listeners are the midwives. They create the space for it to happen, and they get to be present when it does. And so, there's kind of a corollary implication here. If you are a spiritual person, that means that when we feel desperate, when we feel that feeling, it is for us an assignment. In our desperation, that desperation is telling us we must now go and seek out inner peace. It's there, it's inside of us, but the assignment is we must seek it out. When we, as spiritual people, are feeling helpless, that is an assignment. We must go find the interior strength. It's there because the divine is in us. When we are feeling hopeless, it's an assignment. Find hope. When we are feeling overwhelmed, it's an assignment. Find that interior equilibrium. They are in us. Everything we need is in us because the divine spirit is in us, and we must seek it. And we must find a listener. And we must be listeners one for another. Listening is a profound gift, a gift we can give one another. Listening is a profound gift that we can give one another. So let's be a little bit practical, because we are human beings, and sometimes human beings need to vent. Sometimes we just need to off-gas all this pent-up, built-up anxiety and stress and worry. And when that happens, it is not pretty. And it is very easy, if you take on that listening role, to get it caught up in someone else's stress and in their worry. So, back to the metaphor. Midwives hear a lot of screaming. Midwives are pleasant for a lot of tears and a lot of pain. But they are able to absorb it because they know it's not the point. It's not the end. Midwives know the magic is coming. And listeners become able to absorb all of that venting and all of that off-gassing of pressure without getting sucked into it when we come to see wisdom is right around the corner. Inner peace is about to arrive. Inner strength is about to emerge. Now, not completely, not all of a sudden we've just flipped a switch and we're now inner peaceful. But we, by degrees, begin to move forward into that. And we know when we practice listening that that's coming. When seekers seek and listeners listen and work together, magic is coming. So if you were thinking, what, listening, that's your big idea? Listening creates the space that helps one another get through tough times and be our best selves. So that's powerful, and that's valuable, and that's precious, because we all need to get through this time being our best selves. But as is true with anything this precious, anything this valuable, it is not easy. Listening is demanding. There is a constant temptation to jump in with advice, a constant temptation to suggest a solution, to tell our own story or to share our own emotional experience. Listening is powerful, but it's not easy. Consequently, listening is rare. Our society trains us not to listen deeply to others. If you want to be successful as a social conversationalist, you become a jump-inner. You become a word-sayer. So it's rare that we remain quiet and we listen. It's powerful, but it's rare. Listening is a non-selfish space. It allows people to relax into their best thinking and their best discerning. So when we listen, we stay quiet. Now, if we say anything, it's only curiosity questions. Now, I say curiosity questions because we all have experienced that questions are sometimes just suggestions in disguise. I think this thought is a gem. I think it would really help you. So let me ask you this really clever question to help you start thinking my thought, because really it's going to help. And nobody likes that. But neither is it the gift of listening. Curiosity questions don't know the right answer before we ask them. They don't carry some kind of implied should. But what curiosity questions do is they help one another get past of our thought ruts. We've all got some unconscious givens that we carry around in our heads. And so questions like, hey, I don't understand that. Could you explain some more? Or that really seems important. Could you tell me the background behind that? Or could you give me some context to help me understand the bigger picture of that? Those kinds of curiosity questions invite one another to dig around in our thought habits and to unearth things that we might not have seen there before. Listening, non-imposing, unhurried, gives people the gift of time and ease. It frees us from urgency, and it affords us the space to go somewhere that we would not have gotten had a midwife not created that space, that environment for us. Here's another thing. Listening also allows for strong feelings. As a society, we're pretty uncomfortable with strong feelings. We don't know what to do with them. They seem like they're a problem that needs to solve, and we feel the responsibility of solving them, but then we feel helpless. We don't know how to solve them, and so that's a whole uncomfortable context. So we develop subtle, almost unconscious strategies to shut other people's feelings down. We use facial expressions. We jump in with a quick fix, and before we realize it, we have become complicit in helping one another not feel our strong feelings. And in the process, shut down new insights, the kind of insights that would help us access that interior strength, that interior wisdom, that capacity inside of us that we need in this time. So listeners, listen quietly, maybe some curiosity questions. We are gracious and patient when strong emotion comes up. I heard a speaker when I was young suggest that all people need to have in their lives some other people who act as lightning rods. What a lightning rod does for us is we get all worked up with some strong emotional charge, and it is rearing inside of us. And then those people allow us to discharge it, to vent, to unload. But what they don't do is hold on to that charge. What they don't do is pass that charge along to someone else. What they do is they send it to ground. They let it go. And that's what deep listening does. It allows us to have unfamiliar thoughts, and it allows us to have unfamiliar emotions, and it allows us to have strong feelings, and it doesn't rush in to make everything okay. It sends venting charges to ground. We allow one another to off gas so that we can go to the hard places and get to the other side of our venting, because on the other side of our venting, there is magic. We all have within us everything we need. Now, I've done a lot of this kind of listening, and so I will hear this kind of on a recurring basis. Oh, God, when I hear that out loud, I don't even like that that's inside of me. And even though people feel bad when that's when they're at that stage, it's actually a really good thing because it means listening is doing what listening does. It helps us get past those self-editing habits that we all do, to think things that we don't typically allow ourselves to think, to feel things that we don't typically allow ourselves to feel because they're stupid or because we don't like them or because that's what weak people do or that's what people who aren't in charge do. For whatever the reason is, it helps us go to places we don't typically go, which means we're getting closer to the inner light. We're getting closer to what we need that is inside of us. Listening is a gift that we give one another that allows that process to unfold. It helps us get to deeper wisdom and deeper truth and greater strength, which again changes everything, which again we're going to need to get through our times of trouble. So let's do everything that we can about food insecurity. And let's do everything we can about our unemployed friends. Let's do everything we can not to infect one another. And let's pray for one another. Let's share the light that is in us with one another. And let's listen to one another. Let's create the sacred space that draws forth what each of us carries inside, the inner light. And by the way, on a practical point, I've trained a whole bunch of people in our community to do this kind of listening, and I bet it works on Zoom too. There's a link on the live stream post or under the resources tab on our website if you just go to self-awareness and disclosure. If you read that page and then follow the links, we'll connect you to a listener. So you can start the process of accessing what you need that is already inside you to help you thrive in this time of trouble. And so, indwelling spirit, may we help one another access the inner divine and be listeners. Amen. Well, if you would, please prepare your tithes and the offerings. And if you are in the directory, tomorrow you're going to get an email from Scott, our treasurer, and he's going to be talking about our In It Together Fund, pragmatic ideas about how we'll take care of each other in the days that are coming before us. Some of us will keep our jobs through this crisis, others won't. So when Scott's email arrives tomorrow, please consider it carefully. And remember that even though we're not in the building, our bills keep coming. There's a link to the donate button in the post and on our website. And what are you thinking about? What is God stirring up in your heart? Let me go to the Facebook page and see.
So Doug, Chris just asked, is it possible to be a good listener over text or email?
Yeah, that's harder. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find our feed.
And I just texted you a bunch of thoughts from the that have been building up. So if you check your text messages, you'll see a bunch there.
Oh, really? On my text thoughts?
Yes, really.
All right, so I think I'll do that instead because trying to see it. My wife pointed out last week that this thing goes really quick. So lots of comments on loving. Let's see here.
Loving the midwife.
Lots of comments. So Cindy says, this is a gift we give when we sit with someone as they go through a self-awareness, self-disclosure worksheet. Thank you, Cindy. Yes, that's exactly what I was saying. Delin says, wanting to be a carrier of divine light, not a carrier of coronavirus. That's a good one. Angie says, I feel like a big part of this listening is to not provide answers. But I have to admit, a time or two, I've just needed a trusted confidant to tell me what to do. This is happening just this week, and I really appreciated it. And that's really true. So when we do the worksheet, we have workshops, one in the spring, one in the fall, or one in the winter, one in the fall. And we do two of them at the same time. One is the Do the Worksheet workshop, and the other one is Be the Listener workshop. A lot of what I talked about today, I drew from the Be the Worksheet workshop, and Be the Listener workshop. And one of the things that we say is that there is a time, it is a very natural and normal and human thing to give advice to one another. We do that. Of course we do. It's what you do. It's how we survived out there in the Serengeti. Somebody came and told us where the water is or where the grubs are or how to how to kill the buffalo. So we tell one another things we know, and that's valuable, and it is a huge part of being human. This thing that I'm describing today, it's a different thing. It's a different way of being human together. It's a different way of practicing the contemplative together. So this thing does something magical. This thing, what it does is it allows us to access that which is within us ourselves. The other thing, the advising thing, also very important. It helps us know what to do and how to do it. So, yes, that's part of our humanity. And this that I'm describing is much rarer, but it's also part of our humanity. So, yes, Angie, what you're talking about, that's good. Let's see, Todd says, I think the analogy of a lightning rod, it's not destroyed by the lightning, just lets it flow through without being affected. Look at you. Tina says, Thich Nhat Hanh calls it deep listening, allowing someone to empty their heart and suffer less. Yeah, if you're looking for good books to read during this time, Thich Nhat Hanh. Listening, I also think of listening as hearing the things that aren't directly said. Jordan Marshall says that. So let me make a plug for this thing that Cindy mentioned, this doing the worksheet process. So the way it works is we've got this worksheet. It's a series of questions. I don't know how many we've got. I think we've narrowed it down. It's not 14 anymore. I think it's shorter. And then we sit by ourselves in a quiet space, and we work out those 14 questions. And then we take it to a listener, and we do it again. And we say, this is what I've written on my paper, and we tell it to one another. Invariably, what happens when we are talking to one another, we are hearing ourselves things that we ourselves are not saying. So what Jordan, I think it was Jordan Marshall, said, Jordan, I don't know if I've met you. Send me a text. I'd like to get to know you personally. Or maybe I just haven't made a connection with your name and face. So what Jordan wrote here is really important. Part of the dynamic, part of the magic that happens, what the midwife brings, what the listener offers, is this incredible capacity to hear what is not being said. To hear the thing behind that and the thing behind that and the thing behind that. The thing that is latent inside there that doesn't get articulated, that doesn't get said. That's a big, important part of this. And so, yes. Let's see. Cherise said, Doug, what you said about people being uncomfortable with emotion and strong emotion, it's so true. And how on earth do we get past that? Practice. I will tell you, when I was an early minister, and people would come and talk with me, and I knew enough to create a space for people to talk about stuff and not feel judged because they weren't doing the right religious thing. I knew enough to do that. But I was young, and so people would say things that were mind-blowingly difficult. You know, sometimes there would be circumstances. Sometimes it would just be raw emotion would surface because we are taught as a culture to suppress that stuff and suppress it and suppress it and suppress it and suppress it and suppress it. And all it does is sit down there and ferment and get bigger. And when it comes out, it really doesn't come out pretty. And so one of the things that I teach in the Be the Listener workshop is here's what you do. When that happens, you just pay close attention to your face. And what you do is you pay a close attention to what your face is doing, and here's what you don't do. You don't do that. You just allow your face to relax. You make your face soft, and you watch, and you keep eye contact. And inside, it doesn't matter if you were thinking, oh my God, this makes me so uncomfortable, you make your face relax. And then you do that once, and you do that twice, and you do that 10 times, and you do that 50 times, and before long, you have become comfortable with strong emotion. Because what happens is you start to see, like the midwife does, on the other side of all this screaming, there's going to be a baby. On the other side of all of this pain, there's going to be an emerging peace or an emerging insight. Something is going to be birthed. Something will be born in this. And so we don't shut it down by doing all the unconscious things we do that shut emotion down. That's a great question, Cherie. Thank you. Okay, how are we doing on time? It's just about time. One more. Let's see. And she says, one thing I'm becoming aware of is how siloed we are. I feel like all the hurting people know each other and are aware of the pain. On the upper middle class side, people are fairly unaware of needs that are out there. Angie, you are so good. This is why we are working hard on One Wake, because our congregation is relatively middle class. Our congregation has more than our fair share of salaried workers. Salaried workers are going to be more likely to keep their jobs than our hourly workers, and that's true. And that is the nature of this siloed, distant, non-connected society that we live in. And if we follow Jesus and take seriously both the systems work and the service work, then we are going to feed people who are hungry right now, but we're also going to get involved in storytelling and relationship building and hearing. So Thursday night we had a Zoom meeting. I apologize, it was difficult for some people to get into, and I really apologize because working at home, I fell asleep and I didn't wake up until the meeting was halfway over. But we zoomed into the One Wake and realized that here's what we can do during this time. We can begin to build relationship across the divide. We can use this opportunity to get to know people we don't know. And so we have a mandate, if we're going to take seriously this following Jesus thing, and it is to build relationship with the people that we don't know, the people whose stories that are not our stories, who don't live in our neighborhoods, and begin to build relationship not as the great saviors who swoop in to do the noble thing, but to come and begin to hear stories and know stories and build stories. And that's what we're working hard on through One Wake. And so I hope you'll get involved in that. All right, so there should be by now in the feed a link to the Zoom call that Chris and Angie are hosting. So I hope you'll head over there. And what are you thinking? What are you still thinking? And so God's blessing upon you. If you would, please put your hand on your heart. And let's remember as we go that we are, every one of us, carriers of the indwelling divine. Everything we need, it's inside of us. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, they are in us. And if you would extend your other hand to our city, let's look for opportunities to share what's in us with the people that we live with and work with, the people that we go to school with, the people that we can Zoom with. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed. Love one another. Head over and chat. If these recordings help you move forward on your spiritual journey, we hope you'll take an ownership stake in the community and support the health and well-being of the community. You can go to our website, commonthreadchurch.org. The donate button is at the top of the page for your computer's browser, at the bottom of the page for your phones.